Well, hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Centerpoint Podcast. My name's Billy.
I'm Lowell.
And I'm Sam.
What? We've got
a third voice?
We've got a third voice here. We've got our friend Samuel Roman. He's interning with Centerpoint Bible Church here for a few weeks. And we're thankful to have him here joining our podcast. And we're also thankful for you for tuning in and listening to us talk about life, talk about scripture, and talk about how they meld together as we work together to be like Jesus.
So, Pastor Billy, have you ever moved?
I have moved. I've moved multiple times.
Okay.
In the past probably 10 years, I've moved a good bit.
Man, that is quite a process, isn't it?
It really is. I was in the middle of Martinsburg on Universe Drive, and then we moved into my parents' basement for a short time before we purchased a home Rippling Waters. And then we went back to my parents' house and got another house. So it was like five moves in about 10 years.
We've been kicking around the idea of selling in our home and moving. And so my wife, for like 6 months, has been working on getting ready to move.
Mm-hmm.
We've lived there for 25 years. Yeah.
That's a long time. I mean, a standard mortgage is a 30-year mortgage.
Yeah.
So that's actually...
Yeah, we're getting near the end.
Really,
yeah.
Praise the Lord to have that longevity and have that consistency in a home.
I mean, it's
home.
Actually not quite 25 now I think about it, but getting real, real close.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, we've got so much junk and we're going through the house like throwing away and just... That is quite a process.
I know it well.
Yes. So Nancy has this technique that she's been making me go through. It's kind of weird. Maybe you've heard of this, but so she'll like pick up like a sweatshirt or like a book or like a tool, and she'll say, "Does this spark joy? Have you ever heard of this?"
Oh my goodness!
You know it?
Yes, I know it. On Netflix, there's a show, Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
And that's it.
She's a very short Japanese woman that has, I guess, come over to the United States, and she helps various families to be able to really regain their home back.
Yeah, she actually, I think, wrote a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up is what it says right here. So here's what we do. So we go around and we decide. I mean, this is the extent of it for me. I can't get into the way that, is it Marie Kondo? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Like, I think she like thanks the item for the joy that it brought
she
her.
She taps them. Wake up. Wake up. She taps them. They wake up. And then she thanks them. And then she says, "Does this spark joy?"
So the idea, though, is, I mean, I'm not going to thank the item for the joy that it brought me, probably.
Right. Or wake the item up.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But you are kind of asking, like, does this thing bring me joy? Meaning, what's she trying to say?
Does it have meaning to you?
Okay.
And if it really does not have meaning,
you get rid of
then
it.
Then do you really need it?
Like, I threw away, like two boxes of books the other day because, you know, well, just...
Once you've read the book and you have that knowledge or whatever, you don't use it anymore. There's more modern books that have come out,
maybe
on the same subject. Then what do you need?
So that's the idea. Yeah. So I'm bringing that up because we're getting ready to move. Centerpoint Bible Church is getting ready to move, and so it's causing us to kind of rethink, maybe not rethink, but to think through what do we want to keep.
Yeah.
You know, as we move. What do we want to keep? Now, we don't mean...
You're not going to go around and like hit everybody on the head, tell them to wake up.
Do you bring me joy? No. But we do want to ask a question for everything that's true of our church as we prepare to move. So what's happening on June 9th? We've been meeting at Spring Mills Middle School for 10 years.
Yeah, almost 11 years.
Yeah. And so on June 9th, our location is going to move. We're moving temporarily to Faith Christian Academy, and we'll be meeting there on Sunday mornings for worship. I mean, in reality, the church has never been a body, or a building, that is. It's always been a body. But our body meets together corporately once a week for worship. We've been doing that at Spring Mills Middle School. And starting June 9th, we'll do that at Faith Christian Academy. So it's caused us to have to think about how to make that transition. And so what we want to do today is ask a question. And what's our question?
I guess, does it spark joy?
Yeah.
But we should probably adjust it a little bit.
Yeah.
Does it spark the joy of God? I think would be a better way to think about it. Just kind of jumping off of Marie Kondo's thought process, not really taking the spiritualism that she has behind it, but taking a biblical view of it. Does it spark the joy of God?
So when we look at different elements of our ministry and things that are true of Centerpoint Bible Church, we're asking this question today. Does it spark the joy of God?
Mm-hmm.
And what's aiding us in this process is to think about things that we trust have, in our experience, has brought joy to the Lord, and also things that we've heard other people reference that brings them joy and has brought joy to the Lord. So things that are true of us, because we want these things to remain true. No matter where we're at, these things need to be core elements of our ministry that bring God joy and really, as a result, bring us joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one?
I think, well, if you come to Centerpoint Bible Church and you sit in a chair and you face the stage, you read it every day, or you read it every Sunday, and that's pointing others to Jesus.
Okay.
Pointing others to Jesus.
Right.
That sparks the joy of God.
Yes, it does.
It really does.
As a matter of fact, in John 12:32, Sam, you got that for us?
I do, yes. In John 12:32, Jesus says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself."
Mm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, the whole point of Jesus coming to the earth was to glorify God, to glorify Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. to allow us to have a relationship with Him. And that's only going to happen because of the work finished at the cross by Jesus Christ. And so we as a ministry, we do not apologize in any way, shape, or form, or try to explain away the reality that we exist to point to Jesus Christ and His Word. That's why we are here as a ministry. That's why we are here as individuals. That's why we are here as for our families. For us as followers of Christ, our life is to point to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's the same way that Jesus lived. Mm-hmm. When He's lifted up, when He was lifted up the cross, He would draw all men to Himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He definitely communicated that, not only in His words, as we see here in His writing what He said, but also in His life, how He had people that followed Him and even followed Him to the point of focusing on Him to the point that they were willing to sacrifice all of these earthly things and even their life to point people to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus said in John 17:3 that He has come that we might know the Father and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole point of our existence is to know Him and to have a relationship with Jesus.
What verse was that again?
John 17:3.
Yeah.
And the reality is that's why Jesus came to earth, to point people to Himself, to point people to God. It's why He redeemed mm-hmm. us so that we could have a relationship with Him and be involved in helping other people to come into that relationship. Mm-hmm. That brings God joy. So it's not going to change in our ministry.
I'm trying to think of John 17. Is that where you can please correct me, where He says, I have accomplished what you've brought me here to do?
Yes. Yeah, in John 17:5 He says that. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and that in itself harkens back to His ultimate purpose and goal,
mm-hmm.
that He would be the Savior of the world and everyone would lift their eyes to Him.
He says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you mm-hmm. gave me to do."
I think of Moses in the Old Testament, where everyone was sick, and I think they got bit by snakes.
Yeah,
and he put that staff there, and everyone to look to that staff.
Yep,
and that is an image, a cloudy image then of pointing to Jesus.
Well, Jesus referenced that towards about Himself. That is exactly who He is.
Yes.
That's what
yes.
He's doing. So
in our sickness, we point to Jesus. We look to Jesus. We point to Jesus.
So that's
He's the ultimate healer.
That's not going to change.
And that sparks the joy of God in
that's
us.
Exactly right. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. So that no matter where we meet, whether we meet at Spring Mills Middle School, whether we meet at the Pizza Montese there in Martinsburg, we've done that before.
Yeah.
Whether we meet in somebody's living room, whether we meet at Faith Christian Academy.
Or a cardboard box on the hill.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. We're going to point to Jesus that's who we are. By the way, let's mention this. We don't do that because we're good people or because because we're something special. We point to Christ because we're new creatures. That's part of our new identity. That's our DNA now.
Mm-hmm.
When we were reborn in Jesus, when he birthed us again, it's part of our nature now to point to him, to glorify him.
And I like the word, the DNA. And I used to say my role was connecting people to God and to each other and send my DNA. But that's what you're exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
When you are a new creature, a new creation, brand new, this newness in your DNA is pointing people to God and pointing people to each other, developing a community, which we'll probably get to in here in a minute, but really it's the primary is lifting Jesus up.
Well, okay, that's the first thing. Second thing is going to flow out of 2 Timothy 3:16. So Samuel, what you got that for us?
I do. Paul writes in verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Good. Mm-hmm. This guy's good, because I was going to wait and say, hey, go ahead and read verse 17, and he knew.
Ooh.
He knew, man.
You
were spot
good.
On.
You were good.
Yeah, that's great. And what that is the reason why I'm pointing to that is another thing that sparks the joy of God, and as a result brings joy in our life as well, is we will continue to build and to fashion our ministry around the Word of God. We exist to point to Jesus Christ and His Word. We can't know about Jesus and the Lord without His Word. Mm-hmm. And so that sparks the joy of God, and it will remain true. That comes with us. We're gonna pat that. Is that what you do? Do you pat it?
Oh, we wake up.
Oh, wake up. It. Yeah, yeah,
wake
yeah.
Up. You wake
yeah.
up the
so,
item.
The Word of God is living and active. It's already awake.
Yes.
And we will continue to build our ministry upon that.
Mm-hmm. I think that we can point people to Jesus. We do that through the Word. We do
that's
it through
exactly
our lives,
right.
But we do that through the Word. Now, there is, we have to be acutely aware of how we're handling the Word, because it can be that we veer off from the Word and start communicating our own views and our own thoughts from the platform, or from if we have a moment where we can speak truths in people's lives. And that is a dangerous, it's dangerous road to walk down if we start saying, well, this is what Lowell thinks.
Yeah.
Or this is Billy, what Billy thinks, and Billy wants to convict you. That's not our role. It's not our responsibility.
Mm.
Our responsibility is to rightly handle the Word of truth. And that's what it says. All scripture is profitable for all those things.
So what I'm hearing is, what sparks the joy of God? You're saying my opinion or what I, if I were to misuse God's word, that doesn't bring him joy.
No, not at all.
So we're not bringing that with us.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
That doesn't make the move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it says in 2 Peter 1:21 that no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the Word of God is literally the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is His Spirit has inspired this. And so if we didn't have that truth, what would we talk about?
Right, right. Well, we would talk about everything that we want to talk about, and then we would run out. And then we'd start trying to take from other people. But that's the great thing about the Word of God. It has so much depth. There is no bottom to the well. There's no bottom to the digging, to the understanding, to the research, to the study. And that is why God gave it to us, because it is for us, really for all eternity.
Mm.
Because Jesus is the living Word.
Mm-hmm.
But we will never come to the conclusion of all of our studies. We have conclusions in Scripture, but we can continue to study our whole entire life. And that's why we can't go to our own minds and our own thoughts, because
right.
our minds are limited, but the Word of God is limitless.
I recently came across a quote. It was tough to get out there for a minute. And it said that the preacher should never take his finger off of Scripture when he's teaching. Now, I don't know if literally, like, and the
right.
guy even said, you know, when you pick up one hand, put the other one down. And now, I don't think he was literally saying, you know, that your finger should be there. But
right.
his point was that is where any kind of strength, any kind of power, any kind of change agent
mm-hmm.
comes,
mm-hmm.
is God's Spirit using His Word.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that people would say about Centerpoint Bible Church that it is obvious that they believe, that we believe, that we must go back to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
That everything that happens flows out of his word, not Billy's ideas or Lowell's ideas mm-hmm. or Sam's ideas, but the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That brings God joy.
It sparks the joy of God.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And so it's coming with us.
Yes.
Right, right.
Well, we've got let's take a little break here, and we have a few more items that we want to address on what sparks the joy of God. But for now, we'll see you in just a few minutes. We'll be right back. Well, I just want to take a moment and encourage you that if you don't have a church family or a church that you go to or attend, we want to invite you to Centerpoint Bible Church. We meet at Spring Mills Middle School, right off Campus Drive in Spring Mills, West Virginia, and our service times are from 8:45 a.m. is our first service, 10 a.m. is our focus group, and 11 a.m. is our second service. If you don't have a place to attend, you don't have a place to go on Sunday morning, we want you to come to be a part of our family. We exist to point people to Jesus Christ and his word.
Well, welcome back to the Centerpoint Podcast. Today we are talking about a change that's coming our way very soon. Actually, I think as you're listening to this, I mean, in the next week or two, probably, mm-hmm. Centerpoint Bible Church will be moving our Sunday morning worship location from Spring Mills Middle School there in the Spring Mills community, which we feel a strong call of the Lord to reach. But we need to be, we're moving temporarily over to Faith Christian Academy on June 9th.
So June 9th, 2019.
That's a big Sunday for us. So what we're talking about today is things that will remain true of us. And so I've got a different question for you, Billy and Sam, that I want you to think about. Let's imagine, this is a horrible thing, nothing to play around with, but something happened to your home, it's going to be destroyed, okay?
Okay.
Everything's going to be wiped out.
Okay.
And you can grab one thing as you run out the door.
My wife.
No. A couple stipulations, okay? Your family is fine.
Ah.
Your wife, your children are fine. The pictures are fine.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know, the scrapbooks, all that kind of stuff. Amazingly, she took those with her when she went away.
Oh.
Yeah, all the pictures, all the scrapbooks, okay? So what is the one thing that you're going to grab on the way out? And
oh,
by the
man.
Way, oh, another thing, I don't know if you knew this, but they have this new rule that anything that's destroyed in this great catastrophe at your house, you can never buy again. I don't know why the government passed this law, but not really. We're pretending.
Okay.
So what is the thing that you would grab? Because otherwise you can't replace it.
Well, right off the bat, people are going to hear this and think I'm like uber redneck.
Uh-oh.
Because I would grab my guns.
Your gun. Oh, would you really?
I would. Okay. They don't lose their value. They're gaining their value. I guess it's got a lot of worth, and you know. So, and if I can't buy them again, then I want to make sure I have, you know, my Remington 870 Express short barrel.
Okay,
you know,
I've seen that gun. Yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah. All right. How about you, Sam? What would you grab?
Well, I would grab my guns, but they're already attached to my arm. So I would probably...
Ooh!
Bad joke. Probably my golf bag with all my clubs in it.
Oh, yeah, he's a golfer.
Been through a lot of up and downs with those guys.
So. Okay. All right. All right. So he's making some clanging noise as he runs out the front door.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you do?
I would grab my iPad. I know that sounds kind of, you know, a little
bit. As he pushes his glasses up on his nose, I would grab my iPad.
I just do everything with that. I mean, it's just got so much in it now. I just, you know.
We didn't say our phones. I mean, wow.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Yeah. So we're asking this question. It's kind of a spinoff of what we talked about in the first half. And that is, what about Centerpoint Bible Church sparks the joy of God?
Right.
We already said two things. The fact that we point to Jesus Christ. And secondly, that we point to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, a lot of churches do that. We're not exclusive the only people who do that.
Right.
But we're trying to figure out what we're asking is what's going to be true of us no matter our location.
Right. I wrote down rightly handling the Word of God, not just pointing, but rightly handling it.
Good.
And as just a little bit of an addition to that second point. So
okay.
I think the next thing that would spark the joy of God at Centerpoint Bible Church, which we would bring with us to any location that we go to. It just happens to be our new location on Greensburg Road, 138 Greensburg Road. And that's reaching our community. You know, I think that sparks the joy of God, reaching our community.
So reaching our community sparks the joy of God.
It does. Yeah. It does.
Where would you find that in Scripture?
Samuel?
Yeah. Peter writes in 2 Peter verse 9, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance."
2 Peter 3:9. Here we've got a wish of God, a desire of God, is that people would come to repentance.
He does not want anyone to perish, but all come to repentance.
So do you think it's true that when a person comes to Christ and repents, do you think God has joy?
I definitely do.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely think that he is pleased. He is thankful. You know, we receive the emotions that we have. We know that as we were created with an intellect, emotion, and a will. And these are aspects of us as the creation. And that comes from God, that he possesses those same qualities. So if it's emotion, he experiences joy when something happens that's praiseworthy, that gives him praise, that lifts him up. Mm. And so that will be the spark of joy when people come to repentance.
Luke 15:10 says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, question for you. Who is before the angels of God?
That'll be God himself.
God.
That's exactly right.
There is joy before the angels of God. Mm-hmm. He has joy over how many? What, let's see, 10,000? A million? What's the number that brings joy?
I think it was one.
One. Mm-hmm. So that sparks the joy of God. And that is a great truth about Centerpoint Bible Church, is that we have been committed, as God has prodded us. Again, this is just part of our DNA. Mm-hmm. This is not because anybody at our church is a good guy or a good gal. It's just we've been reborn in this way, but we've been committed to reaching our community. Mm-hmm. We've strived to do that, and that's something people have reported to me that they really appreciate about our church. You know, I mean, what are some things we've done to reach out to our community that come to your mind?
Oh my goodness, we've done a lot of things. Very early on, we had free car washes. Mm-hmm. We stood outside of Walmart in Spring Mills and handed out cups of coffee and little dessert-y type things, Easter eggs to the kids during Easter. We've had Easter egg hunts for the community Easter egg hunts, Pumpkin Palooza, which pick your own pumpkin, you know, and it's instead of going to a pumpkin patch and paying for it, we bringing them in to give them something free, and you know, also present the gospel to them.
We've given out countless meals.
The number of meals is almost endless. The number of meals that we've given out, just helping people, the needy people
clothing,
in our community,
Christmas gifts.
Yeah. I mean, just, even just going out ministering to different places, the rescue mission in the middle of Martinsburg, the feeding that we do on Fifth Sundays, helping local schools, whether it be planting stuff, or we did a huge thing at Spring Mills Middle School, putting a bunch of mulch down. We've planted trees there. We've ministered to the teachers there. That's just what's coming off the top of my head. And there's other things that we've done. And these are ways that we reach our community.
Well, it's a shame all that's got to end when we move.
Too bad.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
We're being facetious, but
none of that will change.
Yeah.
None of that will end.
That all sparks joy of God.
It sparks the joy of God, and because it sparks the joy of God, it gives us joy to be obedient to what God has called us to. Mm-hmm. And these aren't things that we're going to minimize. These are things that we're going to be doing and then also increasing in our outreach efforts.
Yes, and let's we didn't even mention the most effective means of reaching our community, and that is that we desire, and I think we do this, we equip the body. Mm-hmm. To leave our gathering, wherever we happen to be on Sunday morning or whenever it is, to go out into the community and tell people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the most effective means.
Right.
And that's not going to end.
The greatest outreach to our community is our people.
Yeah.
Is our people.
Yep.
It's not a piece of bread. It's not a gift. It is people within our church stepping out and pointing people to Jesus Christ. Mm.
And that's not going to change, no matter what, Lord willing, as long as he prods us that way, which he will, because it's his will, as Samuel read. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, fourth thing that comes to my mind, and I hear people talk about this so many times, I'll just call it connection. It's just the idea that that we're bound together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Scripture talks about this. Hebrews 10, you got it there for us, Sam?
Yeah, the author writes in verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Verse 24, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works."
Well, Samuel, as you read that, is there anything in that passage that it calls us to? I'm thinking in my mind the "let us" sections.
Yes, hold fast. He calls us to hold fast, and also to stir up one another to love and good works.
Yeah,
that expression "one another" is an important one. It's in your Bible 59 different times. Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually more than that, but there's 59 different "one another." Some of them are repeated at different places.
Yeah.
But you know, serve one another, greet one another, encourage one another, spur one another.
Why?
Pray for one another.
Why do you think it's in there?
Well, because it's important to God. It brings him joy.
Exactly, and it teaches us. God's word teaches us how we're to act with one another.
I just was talking with a man, had lunch with a man last week, actually Sam and I did, and we were saying, so what, I don't remember if we asked him this directly, but what brought you to Center Point? How did you end up at Center Point? And he said, you know, I wanted to try this church. I knew somebody that went there. And so I came one Sunday morning and I was just overwhelmed with how friendly it was.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was friendly, and they greeted him, and they were, you know, they greeted his family, and they were concerned, and it just really impressed him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he is a key part of our church now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how God connected him to our body. Mm-hmm. That's not going to change.
No.
Lord willing. That brings God joy.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, I want to give you a spur. I want to spur you on to love and good deeds. Just what you said, Lowell, you know, how someone came in and they felt as if they were greeted, as if people were friendly to them. We must not abandon that, because once you come into something and you become friends with people, often you turn toward those people, and there are other new people that are walking in the door. Just as that person experienced it, I would hope that every single person at our church would have their eyes open to love everyone that comes in that door, to be welcoming to everybody that comes in that door. We're doing it, yes, but we can do it more and more.
Well, and because the reality is, you said when they come in that door, and that's certainly true, but that should just be the overflow of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter where you are, if you're sitting at a restaurant and the waitress comes over and takes your order, or if you're, you know, at the grocery store and you're talking to somebody there that's in line with you, or in your home talking with your wife and your children, you should have a demeanor. If you're a follower of Jesus, you got a one another demeanor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like people just, when they're with you, they should just feel one anothered.
Yeah.
You know? That when they're with you, they're like, wow, that person really, they greeted me and they prayed. I bet they prayed for me. Mm-hmm. They served me. They encouraged me. And I'm going to do that right back with them.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
That brings God joy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So we've got pointing people to Jesus, rightly handing the word of God, reaching our community, friendliness and connection. What's the last one?
Well, what do you think, Sam?
How about spiritual growth?
That's real good. Yes, Sam, that's a good one.
Hey, and this was his. This was all him. This was all him. Sam said, you know, something I see is that spiritual growth. You got a passage of scripture for us?
I do, yeah. It's in Ephesians. Paul writes, I'll start in verse 11. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers." Verse 12, "to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ."
Oh, that's good. This brings God joy.
Mm-hmm.
It sparks joy. And if there's a lot of things we could choose here, but I think the thing we'll land on is that God has joy when we as believers are matured to the fullness of Christ.
Yeah.
When there's spiritual growth and a person grows in their conformity to Jesus.
A couple things that pop out are building up, maturing, the whole measure. Mm. You know, there's some fairly powerful comments there, powerful verses words and phrases. And it all comes to the growth that we all can have together as we seek to live in this world and yet not be of the world.
You know, a lot of times when people think about change, some people don't like it. Some mm-hmm. people don't like change. Mm-hmm. But change can be a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. It sure can.
It can. It'll help you when you go through a change, it'll help you get rid of the things that you really aren't that important.
Right.
You know, and that's what we're talking about here. Some things are going to change, but the important things are not going to change.
Yeah.
And those are the things that spark God joy.
Yeah. When I think of Centerpoint Bible Church, I don't think of the cafeteria at Spring Mills Middle School. I always say the Centerpoint Bible Church family, because we are a family and we want to welcome other people into our family as well. Mm. And there's an old phrase that says home is where you hang your hat. So it's not so much that phrase is saying it's not the building per se, it's where you hang your hat. It's
so
where
you can hang your hat someplace else is what you're saying.
Yeah, where you hang your hat is where your home is. So where you put yourself, boom, that is where home is. Mm. The home does not dictate the house does not dictate your home. You dictate it by where you are.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I challenge all the people listening to think about what sparks joy in you.
Yeah.
What sparks joy in you? We've talked about some things that spark joy in God, and the truth is, as followers of Jesus, when God is full of joy, which is all the time, He is joyful, the things that spark joy in Him spark joy in us as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to us. And if you missed anything that we said, just check the show notes out on centerpointwv.org and click on the little show notes section, little podcast section. And just remember that we're nothing fancy here at Centerpoint, but we strive to be real just like Jesus is.